Okay, today's daf in Beseket Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tes Zayin, and we're holding at the bottom of Tesvav Amud Beis. So let's go over again, starting from the part of the Mishnah that talks about Ein Danim Et HaShevet. So the Mishnah says you need a full Beis Din HaGadol, 71 Dayanim, in order to judge an entire Shevet. But what exactly are you judging the Shevet about? That the Mishnah didn't explain. So yesterday we began discussing that, and we said, Hi Shevet, the Chota B'mai, what exactly did this Shevet do that we say that we need to deal with them with an entire Beis Din of Shemet Ve'echad? Are we talking about maybe a Shevet where most of the Shevet was Mechal HaShabbos? There's never a din in the Torah that distinguishes between an individual or a group of individuals that are mechal Shabbos, because Emor de Poligrach Mona Ben Yechidim LeMerubim LeInyan Avodat Kochavim. The only time that we find such a distinction is when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and that, of course, is the sugya of an Ir HaNidachat. So over there we have a special halacha that in the event that there was a city where the city, most of the city, actually was Oved Avodah Zarah, that we, first of all, we don't use the same Beis Din, and that we also don't give them the same Misa that we would give to an individual. So instead of Skila, we give Sayiv, but there's also other inyanim that the city is destroyed, their property is lost. Okay, there's a whole different din for a rabbim or yechidim. But that was a very unique thing that we find in one place only, which is avodat kochavim. But b'shar mitzvot mipolik, did we ever find that the Torah distinguishes between a yachid and a rabbim when it comes to any other mitzvah? So where would the Mishnah get the idea that we have to treat a shevet differently than an individual? So that cannot be what the case is. Chilul Shabbos, or everybody went ahead and ate non-kosher meat, or something like that. Ela b'shevet shuhudach. So it must be talking about where a shevet had done something that had to do with Avodah Zarah. And you had most of the shevet that actually was persuaded to do Avodah Zarah, so there was the equivalent of Ir HaNidachat. However, it was on a Shevet-wide level. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. Problem is that are you trying to say that the din of Ir HaNidachat would apply to an entire Shevet? L'meimer d'bedina d'rabim d'ainan le? So then, who would that be going according to? Because we do have a machlokas about the size of the city that we would deal with as an Ir HaNidachat. But no matter whose shita you're going according to, no one would include a city that is the entire Shevet. Come on. Lo k'Rabbi Yoshia, v'lo k'Rabbi Yonatan. Those are the two shitas that we know, at least in the Braita, the Tanya. Ad kama osim Ir HaNidachat. So how many people should be in a city? Anything from 10 to 100 is what would be the minimum and maximum number to make an Ir HaNidachat. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So it's a special din in an ear. Tosfos explains that this is based on Pesuk in Amos that describes the ear that was once an Elef, that it's Matzimeo or Matzmea, that was Matziasira, Asora. But in any event, it's a special halacha in the Torah about a city. And it cannot be a village, and it cannot be a metropolitan center. It certainly cannot be a Shevet. And that is the, okay, that's Rabbi Yonatan, and he's got, that's Rabbi Yoshia, and he's got a very small shear. So let's try the other Tana, which was Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan, even though it's 10 times more, but it's still only from 100 until maximum Ruba shall Shevet. So it can only be the rove, the majority of a Shevet, and even Rabbi Yonatan loka amar ala Ruba. Rabbi Yonatan said maximum would be the size of the rove of the Shevet. But if it was the Shevet, as the Mishnah is talking about, then it certainly would not be given the din of an Ir HaNidachat. So where in the world would the Mishnah come up with the idea that an entire Shevet would be treated like an Ir HaNidachat in the event that they were Eved Avodah Zarah. Omer of Masna, we're not talking about a Shevet. You're 100% right. When you say a Shevet, what we're talking about is a Nasi Shevet. And, of course, it's talking about that the chet that he did was a chiev of Misa of some kind. And when we're talking about the covet of the Shevet, so that the president, so to speak, of the Shevet, he, in fact, needs to be in the Bezdin HaGadol. What would be the basis for such a thing? Because mi lo amar vada barava. When the Torah speaks about the creation of the Bezdin, when Yitro is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu about what would need to be, so what was said to Moshe was kol hadavar hagadol yaviu alecha. Anything that is a great thing, and we understand davar hagadol means divarav shel gadol. That's how Rav Ada Bar Ava explained it. So in other words, anything that has to do with a very important person is brought directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, you will recall, we've seen many times, that Moshe Rabbeinu is imed in the mokum of the Besdin HaGadol. And therefore it means Lidorot, since we're dealing with a Dovar Shel Gadol, because he's a Nasi Shevet, so there's a halacha that only the top deals with the top. Ula, Omer, and so this is also Hainami Gadol. This person is considered to be a Gadol. Ula says, what it's talking about over here is, in fact, a Shevet. Now, where in the world would a Shevet need to come in front of a Bezdin HaGadol that was actually dealing on the level of a Shevet? Gavi's going to have to put up his own boots today. I'm so sorry. But I apologize. So where would we have such a thing? We have arguments between the Shvatim when it comes to the Nachala. So a Shevet believes that the correct boundary between it and the adjoining Shevet was in a different place than is assumed. So they sue. When a Shevet deals with the territory of the Shevet vis-a-vis another Shevet, there you need to have a Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Why would we say such a thing? Well, it's very simple. What we're doing now in a suit that has to do with the actual Nachala of the Shevet is precisely what we did when we came directly into Eretz Yisrael and we dealt with giving the particular Nachalot. Well, what did we do then? Well, Ketchilata Shel Eretz Yisrael, when we first came into Eretz Yisrael, what did we have? Matchilata is Shivim Ve'achat. So we had all of the Zikinim present. Afkan Shivim Ve'achat. So therefore we need to have all of the Zikinim present, which are the equivalent of the Bezdin at the time of Knesset Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, then we should have to duplicate the entire setting of the original giving out of the Chalukim of Eretz Yisrael. And how exactly did we do that Chalukah? Well, remember, we took these, first of all, we had the Kohen Gadol, and he was wearing the Urim V'Tumim, and we did everything al pi goralot, so everything was actually put into a special box that had these goralot, and each one chose the goral. It was a very, very beautiful setting, but it sure was a lot more complex than just having extra dayanim present. So why do you say in the Mishnah that you need a bezin of Shivim V'Echad? That's not enough. We should say, just like Tchilata, when we first entered Eretz Yisrael, we also had the Kalpi, which was the special box to hold the lots, and in Urim V'Tumim, we had the Kohen Gadol, who was wearing the magical Urim V'Tumim, which would light up and would give the message of what it was, the Chelek that each Shevet was going to get, and it would define what was about to come up from that box. And Kol Yisrael were Indim there, the entire nation was present so that there would never be any kind of issues. Everyone would see that Eretz Yisrael was given out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ruach Afkan. Then here too, if you're telling me that we're basing this on a redoing of how it was that we gave out the Eretz in the first place, so Afkan, Kalpi, and Vetumim, Kol Yisrael, why would it be enough to simply use Shivim V'Echad? So this is a beautiful pshat of Ula, well, where he quoted it from Rabbi Elazar. However, it just doesn't seem to hold water. We're going to have to go back to what we said before. And that was Rav Meisner's approach, and that was that when it says Hashevet, it doesn't really mean Hashevet. It means the Nasi Shevet, because it's Dvarav Shel Gadol. Ravina says, no, you know what? We could go back to our original assumption. Our original assumption was that the only place that we find that the Torah makes a distinction between individuals and group is when it comes to an Ir Hanidachat. Why don't we go back to that? Let's say that we're talking about a Shevet Shuhudach. Now, you were very upset at that because you said, well, nobody holds that. The Kokashracha, and you asked me, Betina de Rabim Daninan Lai, do we indeed give the same din that we give to the Rabim to a Shevet? And we showed that the maximum size of a city for an Ir Nidachat would be, even according to the most chomer shita, Rabbi Yonatan would be only the rov of the Shevet. But you're making a terrible mistake here. There are two completely different issues. Don't you see that? One is the issue of what type of court is going to judge a large body of people. From the din of Ir Hanidachat, we can certainly see that if you're dealing with an entire city, we do not judge you the way we would judge with just a local case. We take the Beis Din HaGadol. That remains true. It's also so that the particular dinim of the Ir Hanidachat, which is that we change the misa that we're giving, and that we burn down the city, and that you lose your money, say, oh, that has nothing to do with the case that we're talking about here. We never claimed that you treat the Shevet as if it were an Ir Hanidachat. All that we said was, there's a place that the Torah distinguishes what Beis Din it wants you to use if there's a difference between a Yochid and a Rabbin. That we can certainly still derive from the din of Ir Hanidachat without your getting confused about the particulars of how it is that we treat the city. So everyone is treated as an individual, but because of the fact that we have a Shevet that's involved, we need to have a more important Beis Din to deal with this. And that means that we deal with the Beis Din HaGadol the same way we would deal with an Ir Hanidach. And it's a beautiful Svara. So Af Agav, to Katlin and Biyochid, you're right. We only treat the din of each individual as if they were individuals. But we still can derive this very important concept, and that is that a Beit Dina Derabim Dainin. We need the type of court that we would use for a case where we have a rabbin, and this is certainly a rabbin, a greater rabbin. So it requires a Beis Din HaGadol. After all, remember Reb Chama Bar Yose Omer Reb Oshaya's diet from the Torah, says Ravina. He said that since in that parsha it says, when you're talking about an individual who did avodah zarah, so it says, "Vohotzeta et ha'isha hu, o et ha'isha hahi el she'arecha." So if you have a man or a woman who worshipped avodah zarah, take them out to your gates. Now, what is the gates? Well, we know what the gates are. We've already seen b'chol she'arecha is the Sanhedrin HaKitana, which means a court of 23 people. And note that it very unnecessarily says repetitively, that man or that woman, what is that supposed to mean, that man or that woman? Elam what? We're talking about the pet dinosaur. We were talking about a man or a woman who was Oved Avodah Zarah. The point, therefore, is, said Reb Oshaya, it's only an individual man or woman that you would be motzi l'sha'arecha, Ish v'ishata motzi l'sha'arecha, but you do not take a whole city out to the Sha'arim. And the same thing would be true here as well, Hochanami. If we're talking about ish or ha'isha, we're certainly not talking about the whole Shevet. So ish v'ishata motzi l'sha'arecha, v'i ata motzi kol ha'shevet kulay l'sha'arecha. So we're not going to take out an entire Shevet to the gates. Okay, beautiful Svara. Two completely different halachas. We need to be very clear about the difference of the court that we're utilizing versus the dinim that we're applying. The next case that we had in the Mishnah was lo et navi hasheker. We cannot be done a navi sheker, a false prophet, unless it's in the bezdin shel shimon v'yachad. Minani mili. Where does that come from? On Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. Well, I note that there is a gzera shava here, which compares the same language. It uses asher yazid. It compares the same language that we have with the din of a zokin mamre to the din of a navi sheker. Now you will recall, what is the din of a zokin mamre? If the bezdin shel shimon ve'echad issues a psak, and there's a zokin who is roy for that bezdin, and he refuses to accept the das of the majority of the court, and he goes ahead and he actually tells people a psak that is antithetical to theirs, so he is actually put to death, and he's considered to be moreed against the entire bezdin, and therefore we have a special halacha that we wait until the holiday, and we hang him up, and everybody should know that the entire country accepts the rule of law as it is yotze from the Lishkas Hagazis, and so on and so forth. Now over there, the Pasuk specifies the Besdin HaGadol. It talks about the Alit al HaMakom and so on. It has to be in that place, as we saw before. If the Besdin is not in the Lishkas HaGazis, then he doesn't have a din of a Zakin Mamre. We just spoke about that if they were in Beit Pagi. Now, over there, it uses its language, the same language that it uses. It says, Aish asher ya'aseh Bizadon. So there it's talking about the person who is willfully standing up against the rule of law. And it uses the same language by a Navi Sheker. Hanavi Asher Yazid, the Daber Davar Bishmi. So he willfully stands up and claims that I spoke to him, and it's all false. The same language. So that's the Navi Sheker. So we know that just like over there, in order for Zakin Mamre to be Chayat, it is limited to the Shivim V'Echad. Here too, Afkan, B'Shivim V'Echad. We therefore should need a Bezdin of Shivim V'Echad. I'm going to risk the lights because I can't stand not being together with you. And for some reason, even though I can see you, I'm not feeling. Let me see. How do I turn on my video? There we are. Okay.
Rebbe, I'm going to risk a comment here. Rebbe is investing in giving very thorough explanations with dramatic impact. It's a long block, and Rebbe's voice is weak. Maybe simplify on okay. The process a little bit.
All right. What you're trying to say is I'm talking too much. I understand. I'll try to be more efficient. It's true that I'm a little bit in slow motion, but I figure everyone will be Michael, I hope. Okay. I understand. Okay. Now, what exactly happened over here with Kavi? What, just because I'm not there, so therefore we don't get any picture on the other end? I don't know what this Mita Kenegan Mita is, but anyway. Asks the Gemara, V'ha hazoda ki k'tiva b'k'tolohu d'k'tiva. This is not really the true, because when we are paskening the halacha of the Zakei Mamre, how big of a bezdin do we need? We need a bezdin only of 23. The halacha that it's true that the Zakei Mamre is only a Zakei Mamre if he is mamreed against Shivim V'Echad, but it doesn't mean that we need the Besdin of Shivim V'Echad to actually paskin that he's Chayav Misa. So therefore, it makes no sense to come, you're comparing two completely different issues. Elo Amresh Lokesh, the correct Gezeirah Shavah is that the Torah uses the word Davar when it comes to a Navi Sheker, and it uses the same word davar when it comes to a Zokin Mamre. So it says over there by the Bezdin shel shimon v'echad, v'asit al pi ha davar asher yagidu lecha, And just like that davar is the Shema V'yachad, so here too, when it says that same Lashon, Asher Yedaber Davar B'Shmi, and so on, that's talking about the Zaken, the Navi Sheker, so it means that it has to be judged by that same Bezdin. Oh, well, once that's true, why don't we go and turn around and learn out the Zaken Mamre with the previous Gezeirah Shavah of Asher Yazid, Hazadah, Hazadah from Navi Sheker, and then we would know that, in fact, we do need a Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'Echad to actually judge the Zaken Mamre. And you said we only need a Beis Din of Esrim V'Shloisha, a Sanhedrin Ketana, to judge the Zaken Mamre. Why don't we go back now and learn the Zaken Mamre from the Din of the Navi Sheker? Answers the Gemara, because we don't know that Gezeirah Shavah. What we're saying now is that we do have a Kabbalah that the Gezeirah Shavah, the latter Gezeirah Shavah of Davar Davar, is actually Mekubal. Hazadah, Hazadah, we were never taught. He wasn't Mekabal that Gezeirah Shavah from his Rebbe. Remember, Ein Adam Dan Gezeirah Shavah Me'atzmo. And therefore, we only have a one-directional limud. We can learn out the halacha of Beis Din HaGadol from the Zaken Mamre, but we can't learn out the Zaken Mamre from the Navi Shechem. Next case in the Mishnah is that we need a Beis Din of Shivim Ve'echad in order to be done a Kohen Gadol. Now, where do we know that from? And this goes back to the original quote that we had before of Ravada Barava, the Omar Kra. Moshe Rabbeinu was told in the whole parsha of Yisro of the Dayanim, Kol HaDavar HaGadol Yavio Alecha. What does that mean? Anything that has to do with a Gadol. Well, I think we're agreed that a Kohen Gadol is certainly Gadol, isn't he? So because of that, he needs to be in front of a Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad, which is connected Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is Yavio Alecha. Beisr. How does Ravada Barava come to understand the pasuk that way? The Braita says, a Davar Gadol does not mean a great person. A Davar Gadol means a very serious and difficult thing. So in other words, if there is something that a lower Beis Din cannot get to the bottom of, and they're unable to determine, that is what is brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, that is, to the Beis Din HaGadol. But it has nothing to do with who the individual is. It has to do with what the case is. And if the case was undecidable based on the information that the lower courts have, then the only one who can be mora, completely new halacha, based on the midosh atar nidreshes b'hem, and that is justified in giving a psak, as the Rambam says, atera yotza liyisrael, from that place, is the Beis Din HaGadol. But what does it have to do with a person? Did we ever find that different people are treated in different ways? By what court? That doesn't make sense. So, therefore, says the Braita, it means a tough situation, not a big man. Well, now, says the Braita itself, you say that. Maybe it means Devorav Shel Gadol, that which has to do with an important individual, like the Kohen Gadol. Ah, but you see, there are two different psukim that seem to be saying the same thing, because four psukim later, when we're describing the actual implementation of the Dayanim, it says, et hadavar hakasheh yivyun el Moshe. It says, beferish later, that they bring the tough issues to Moshe. So, it's clear that we're talking about a dover kasheh, not a big man, but a dover kasheh. And Ravada Barava claimed that it means a big individual, that is, an important individual. So it seems that Ravada Barava is wrong, based on the Braita. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right, Ravada Barava, if we only had this Braita, he would be wrong because the Braita is clearly not agreeing with him. But it happens to be that there's another Braita that does agree with him. And he, Ravada Barava, the Omar Ki Haitana, he was going according to that Braita, the Tanya. Davar Gadol is Dvarav Shel Gadol. So here it says, Beferish, exactly the way he understood the Pasuk. Something that has to do with a great man. Ata omer dvarav shel gadol aleinu el davar kashe? Well, asks the Braita on itself, in a mirror of the other Braita, you're claiming that it means a tough issue. Maybe it means a great man. Kishu omer ha-davar ha-kashe, but since just four psukim later, it says beferish that the tough issues will be brought to Moshe, so we have a pasuk that describes that point, ha-davar kashe amur. So what would be the point of saying exactly the same thing four psukim earlier? Ama ani mekayim davar gadol, it must mean a davar of a person who is gadol, like a kohen gadol, exactly. Divarav shel gadol. So we have two different psukim, one which is saying the tough issues should be brought to Moshe, and one which is saying that the important people shall be brought to Moshe, meaning the best of Shimon ve'Achad. So, wait a minute. You know, that's pretty persuasive, isn't it? I mean, like, why did the first Braita say, well, we have the other pasuk, and based on the other pasuk, that's how we'll learn the first pasuk? I mean, we never do that. We always say, well, if you have a pasuk discussing item A, you're not going to find the same exact item A discussed in another pasuk. That must be referring to item B, which is exactly what the second Braita says. So, I mean, how does the first Braita, that first Tana that argued with Rav Huda bar Abba, how exactly does he explain the fact that we have two psukim saying the same thing? V'haytana treikroi lomali. Well, isn't it obvious that we have two things there? We have one, which was the suggestion of Yisro, right? And there they gave the command that we should make a Bezdin, then in which the Dovar HaGadol will be brought to Moshe. So that was the Tzava, but then we described the actual implementation, and that was after we accepted Yisrael's suggestion and we implemented it. So one was the suggestion and one was the implementation. So that's true, actually. So why does the other Braita feel that that is not actually what it's about? Because he says, look, why do we change the language and we say davar gadol and then we switch it to davar kasheh? I mean, if what you're talking about is a suggestion and an implementation, then use the same word. As suggested, we went ahead and implemented. Why would you change the word that you're using? Either use the word gadol and gadol in both cases, or use the word kashen, kashen both places. But why do you suggest gadol and then implement kashen? That means that there's two points that's being brought out here. A, that we did implement it, and B, that we actually also added this concept of the tough things to the great men. Okay, now, when you're talking about the kohen gadol, and you're saying things that have to do with the Kohen Gadol have to be brought to the Beis Din HaGadol. I have a fascinating question for you. Let's imagine a case where the shar of a Kohen Gadol killed someone. And remember that we have this fascinating halacha that we've seen every time that the Torah discusses the bringing an animal to be judged, that he is given the same bezdin that the Adam, his owner, is given. Now, let's say that the owner is a Kohen Gadol. Does that mean that just like the Kohen Gadol has to be brought to a bezdin HaGadol of Shimon V'Echad, that the shore of that Kohen Gadol also needs to be brought to Shimon V'Echad? What I'm asking is, L'mitat ba'alim didei midabin alei, when we say that the Torah compares the chiyav misa of the animal to the chiyav misa of his owner, does it mean his literal local owner? Or was this just a general requirement that we compare the animal to the human? Odilma lemitat bali, and we treat a shor as if it's a human, because surely you admit that it's a bit ironic to say that we're going to learn out from the fact that we bring the greatest to the greatest bezdin, and in we walk with a shor to the bezdin HaGadol, and we justify it by saying, yes, after all, it's Dvarav Shel Gadol. I mean, you may have your opinions of that Gadol, but I think this is a little bit, you know, BS, no? So why are we bringing that shor into that bezdin? That's what I want to understand. Omar Abaye, well, I can tell you one thing, that from the very fact that Rebbe Elazar was asking about that, it seems that it's clear to him that, of course, when we talk about Dvarav Shel Gadol, we only meant Dvarav Shel Gadol that has to do with his own personal din. Suppose his shor wouldn't have killed, and therefore we wouldn't have had the Kemisas Balin Darshan. His shor, let's say, damaged or killed another shor. It's clear that Rebbe Elazar wasn't even thinking that it would require more than a normal bezdin of three people, just like everyone else. Well, isn't that obvious, says the Gemara to Abaye? I mean, it's pshita. I mean, why would we treat a Kohen Gadol's moment case differently? Why not, says the Gemara? Ma'ode tema, look, if we learned out davar gadol to mean kol dvarav shel gadol, I might have thought that that's what it meant. It says kol hadavar hagadol. Kol hadavar hagadol would mean anything that affects an Adam Gadol, including something that would affect the pocketbook of the Kohen Gadol, needs to be brought to Moshe. Kamash Malan. So Baya is just pointing out that we see clearly that that was never even entertained, even by Rebbe Elazar, who was entertaining that the din of the Balim would actually mean the local Balim, the Kohen Gadol, would affect the Shor. There was never a Havamina that we're talking about every issue that affects a Kohen Gadol would be brought to the Bezdin HaGadol. That's for sure. The next halacha that we had was Ein Motzi'in L'Milchemet HaRishut Ela Hapi Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'achat. How do we know that we need to have the Bezdin HaGadol to give a backing to making war if it is not a Milchemet Mitzvah? So remember, we have two different sets of warring. One is called a Milchemet Mitzvah, where the Torah is mechayev us to go and fight, such as where we're being attacked by other nations, or we're coming to actually take the territory of Eretz Yisrael that was given to us. That's called a Milchemet Mitzvah. Then we also have a Milchemet Rishus, which means that it's essentially discretionary. Do we want to fight? Do we not want to fight? That would be elements of making sure that the people around respect you and that you have deterrence and that they won't attempt to attack you, or things like expanding your territory or and so on. So what about that? How do we know that we need, as the Mishnah says, to have a Bezdin HaGadol allow us to go out to fight a discretionary war? Normally, war is a function. It's a political decision, but it's not a legal decision. So where do we actually get this from? That's certainly the way other countries look at it. Omer Rebbe Abo, it comes from the Pasuk itself. When Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yoshua what it was that he was going to do when he takes over. So it says over there, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amod, Hu V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito. So what does that mean? It means that he, when he is going to determine that he wants to go to war, he's going to have to stand in front of Elazar HaKohen, and that, of course, is the Urim V'Tumim. He, that is to say, Yehoshua, who was at the din of Melech, Zemelech, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito, how does that, what, the whole country stands there? No, it means the one who leads the country, the B'nei Yisrael, into battle, which was the special Kohen who was known as the Mashiach Mochama. V'chol ha'eda, remember that the eda is a reference to Sanhedrin. It always refers to it as ha'eda. And that, and that's the same idea of bringing the korban of kol ha'eda that makes an error. That's Sanhedrin. So that means that you have to have Sanhedrin there in making the determination that you're going out to battle, the same way that you have the Mashiach Mochama there to go out to battle, the same way that you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement with the Urim V'Tumim. Well, how do you know that that's what it means? What you're doing is you're taking this pasuk, and you're saying that this pasuk is about all of the elements that need to be involved in the determination to go out to war. But that's not really what it says over here. It's talking about all of the people who have access and must have access to the Kohen Gadol and the Urim V'Tumim. That's the V'lifnei Elazar Kohen Yamod. Maybe that's all it's saying, that Sanhedrin has an access in cases where they need information that they can go to the Urim V'Tumim. But where does it say that the Sanhedrin has to be the people that you consent with the same way that you consent with the Urim V'Tumim? It doesn't say that here. That's true. Okay, so let's find another marker. Elakihadi Omer of Acha Barbizna, Omer Rabbi Shimon Chasida. This was the beautiful story that we had in the Gemara in Brachas. Kinor hayatalui l'mala mimitato shel David. We're going to look at a pasuk where we get all of this at the end. And there was this beautiful kinor, which is a musical instrument. They usually translate it as a harp, but doesn't really, there's no, I don't think, any mocha for it being a harp. But in any event, it was above David HaMelech's bed, and it was facing the window. And kivan shehigia chatzot laila ruach tzvonit menashevet po v'ayim nagen me'ilav. The wind would start to blow at midnight, and it would play music on the harp. David HaMelech would get up at Chatzot, and it says beferish in the pasuk Chatzot Laila Akum Laodot Lecha. So he would start learning Torah, and this he would do until it was dawn. Kivan Shala Amud HaShachar, at dawn Nichtesu Chachmei Yisrael Etzlo, the people would then come in, all of the Chachomim, to discuss the various issues that were necessary to deal with for whatever Klal Yisrael needed on that particular day. Now, we give an example here of the ultimate needs, which would consist of issues that would require the Beis Din and would require the Urim V'Tumim and so on. So we want to use an example of Amrulo. Obviously, it doesn't mean every day they did this, but Amrulo, imagine a situation where the economy was failing. There was a high proportion of poor people. And the Chachomim said, Adonino HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichin Lefarnasa, we are suffering from inflation. We're suffering from insufficient jobs. What do you say we do? Marlehem, what to do? L'chuvit parnesu zemizeh? We should have the people that can afford to create the jobs and can be supportive of the poor people. They should take responsibility. What are you coming to me for? Said the Chachamim, things don't work like that. Hina komitz masbia etari. I mean, what do we've got over here? We've got a very hungry people, you know. Klal Yisrael has very high standards of living. So what are you going to say? Let the people, what big is the proportion of the billionaires around here that they're going to be able to support the country? It doesn't work like that. And hina bor mitmalei michulyato. And you know, when you dig out a pit, and you try to refill it with the same amount of dirt that you took out of it, it never gets filled up because of the fact that it is now, you've crushed it. And that's what's going to happen here. When you're going to try to fill up the pit of need of the country by utilizing its own resources, the economies expand by expanding outwards, not by expanding inwards. So we need new markets, we need new workers, we need new challenges. So David said to them, okay, I get what you're saying. L'chu pishtu yedeichem bigdud. So it's time to go out on the attack. We need some Lebensraum. Miad yoatzim b'achitofel, v'nimlochim b'sanhedrin, v'shoalim b'urim v'tumim. So the next step was they would bring in Achitofel, who was the advisor, and he had amazing powers of advisory keach that the pasuk compares to the Urim V'Tumim itself. Kasher Yishal Adam Elohim. They would ask him about whether this was a good idea, what strategy, and so on and so forth. Then they would ask Sanhedrin, and then they would ask the Urim V'Tumim from the Kohen Gadol. So you see from here that the Sanhedrin actually needed to be consulted with. Omer of Yosef, okay, but I mean, we're saying all of this, but how do you know it? My crow, where's the pasuk? The pasuk is that acharei achitofel, Benayahu ben Yehoyada ve'evyatar v'sar tzava la'melech Yoav. So since it says over here, Benayahu ben Yehoyada came afterwards, now there's a little bit of a problem because it doesn't say Benayahu ben Yehoyada. It says Yehoyada ben Yehoyada, which is a whole, it means that was his father, and the Tosfos speaks about this at length. The Rabbeinu Tam brings a raya that he took the place of his father and also proves that there were two Benayahu ben Yehoyadas. In any event, it goes beyond, it's just interesting to point out, goes beyond us. But the idea over here was that we have mentioning of a different individual. So as we saw, Achitofel, if the Pasuk is attempting to give us a description of the Sidrei HaMalchus, so then that means each one of these individuals is a stand-in for a concept, correct? Same thing that we have whenever we talk about a particular individual. Remember, when we deal with the Beis HaMikdash, we deal with national issues, the person that was the original individual is always used as the name for that job. So when we have our Mishmarot, the Mishmarot are called on the name of the original. It has nothing to do with whether that person is still there. And if you've got a concept of a person who was, let's say, the one that was the language expert, so we'll always call him Mordechai or Psachya and so on. The same thing is true over here. And it says Achitofel. Achitofel is a stand-in for the chief advisor. So Achitofel is the Yoetz, and that is how the Pasuk refers to him in Shmuel. It says, Atzat Achitofel asher ya'atz bayamim ahem, and so on. Binayo ben Yehoyada. That is a reference to Sanhedrin, because he was the Av Beis Din. So that's talking about Sanhedrin. And then when it says Evyatar, Evyatar is the way that we refer to the Kohen Gadol, meaning the one who was at that time carrying the Urim V'Tumim, and it means that we are going to have to ask in the Urim V'Tumim. And we see that we take a look at that order of things, because it says Binayo ben Yehoyada was above Al HaKreativa HaPleiti. That means that he came first. So we first go to the Sanhedrin, and then we go to the Urim V'Tumim, which were called the Kreti U'Pleiti. Why were they called the Kreti V'Pleiti? The same way that Yale University puts the Urim V'Tumim on the actual, as the motto of the university. The picture of the Urim V'Tumim, it says Urim V'Tumim. So why were we actually going to them? Because they are Kortin Devrehem, because what they say is so perfectly defined, as we'll see elsewhere when we talk about going to the Urim V'Tumim, the question and the answer was extremely precise, and you needed to phrase things precisely as they were meant to be answered. Not only that, but they were also muflaim ma'aseihem. The way that they would respond, the lighting up of letters on it was absolutely, I mean, it was like magical. So we call that the Kreti U'Pleiti. So those things all were necessary. And then at the end of the pasuk, it says, V'achar kach, after that, Sar tzava la'melech Yoav. Then you would go, if you had all of that, you had Achitofel and you had the Sanhedrin, and you had the Kohen Gadol with the Kreti U'Pleiti, we would then call in Yoav, who was the commander-in-chief of the army, and then you would actually go and begin warring. By the way, Omer Yitzchak Bereder Rav Adav Armil Omer Yitzchak Bravidimi, where do we see that David HaMelech used to wake up with this magical kinor that would sing to him at midnight? From the Pasuk where David HaMelech says, Ura Chvodi, Ura HaNevel V'Kinor, Ha'ira Shachar. So David HaMelech speaks to his own neshama, which he calls his kavod. And he says, I am the one who will awaken the dawn. And that was because we awake with the musical instruments, the navel and the chinor, and that will allow me to wake up the dawn. I will be the one who is up and learning at Chatzot. Continues the Mishnah. The next thing we need a Beis Din HaGadol for is Ein Mosifim Al Ha'ir V'Al HaZarot El Al Pi Beit Din Shel Shivim V'Echad. So if we're going to extend outwards, the Kedusha, remember, that the mechitzes of the city and the mechitzes of the Azores, they were not just physical mechitzes. They defined the particular level of Kedusha in the story of the Azor Kedushas, Ezer Kedushas, and therefore, in order to make a change, we needed to have an entire ceremony, which we've spoken about. You need to walk around with the Bezdin of Shimon V'Yechad, and together with two Toydais, and you're going to exactly define what it is that you're allowed to eat in this new area. Okay, there's a lot, there's a big sugya, but the Bezdin that we use, it can't be just a Bezdin of Esrim V'Shalash. It needs to be a Bezdin of Shimon V'Yechad. How do we know that? Omer Shimi Barchia, we know it from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time that he made the Mishkan, Yukol Asher Ani Mareh Otcha Tavnit HaMishkan Ve'et Kelam, and it ends, V'chein Ta'asu. Well, what does V'chein Ta'asu mean? Obviously, that's the way you have to do it. You said, do everything I said. Why do you repeat? And that's how to do it. Those words are saying, V'chein ta'asu l'dorot ha'ba'im, that when any of these procedures or manufacturing needs to be done in the future, so that something needs to be replaced or changed into a new format, such as the Mishkan becomes a Beis HaMikdash, you need to utilize the same ideas and the same fundamental principles that were used here in building the Mishkan in the Midbar. So too, if you're going to be defining with the Bezdin HaGadol how to build the Mishkan, if you're going to have to do the same thing in defining the mechitzes of the chotzer of the Mishkan, so to speak, and the entire Midbar Machana, which is Yerushalayim. So therefore, you need the same two things that you had then. Masiv Rav. Kol HaKelim Shasa Moshe Mishichatam HaKadoshan. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu made, it says over there that the Shemen HaMishcha was utilized to bring Kedusha to those Kelim. However, from this point on, for the next millennia, Mikan Ve'elech Avodatan Mechanachtan, we do not have a need for the Shemen HaMishcha. You simply make the new, you manufacture the new, and when you use it for the first time, that gives it its Kedusha. But why didn't you just say that the pasuk of V'chein Ta'asu means you must do in the future what it was that you did now in the binyan of the Mishkan? And therefore, it should require the same Shemen HaMishcha. And you're saying, no, it doesn't use the Shemen HaMishcha. It only uses the Avodah itself. Well, what about name of V'chein Ta'asu L'dorot HaBa'im? You're violating your own principle. True. But there's a special pasuk that says that V'chein Ta'asu does not apply to the Kedusha of the Kelim. Where does it say that? Because Shaina Yosem Diomakro Vayim Shachem Vayikadesh Otam. Why doesn't it just say Vayim Shachem Vayikadsham? Vayikadesh Otam is stressing the object of the word, of the verb. And it means Otam only those Kelim. Those original Kelim, those are the ones that we required Mishicha, Otam b'Mishicha. So that means only the original, but lo l'dorot b'Mishicha. We do not give the Mishicha to the Dorot HaBa'im. Well, no, wait a minute. You're jumping ahead of yourself, you know. Basically, up until now, you said you must do Mishicha. So if you have a pasuk that says Vayikadesh Otam, the most you should say is that you no longer must use Mishicha. And you could use either Mishicha or Avodata. But you said that you can't use Mishicha. Where the heck did you get that from? The Ema Otam b'Mishicha, they needed Mishicha, but the future could be without Mishicha. Iba Mishicha, Iba Avoda. Where do you get the idea that only Avodatam Mishichat is Mikadashtam? Omer Rav Papa, Omer Kro, Asher Yesharatu Bom Bakodesh. It says in the Pasuk itself that speaks about the Kelim, it says something ridiculous. V'lakhu et kol kulei hasharet, Asher Yesharatu Bom Bakodesh. Well, obviously, Kli Sharit are Asher Yishartu Bam Bakodesh. I mean, why are we calling them Kli Sharit Asher Yishartu Bam Bakodesh? That's the point. Hakatuv Tila'an B'Sheirut. The Torah was saying, what makes something a Kli Sharit from this point forward? Only the fact that it's Asher Yishartu Bam. And note that it says it in the future tense. Asher Yishartu Bam. Ah, so Kli Sharit from this point onwards need to be Asher Yishartu Bam. Oh, now, wait a minute. That's a very impressive pasuk. So then why did we need the diuk of the Kadesh Otam to be medayik only the original kalim and not the subsequent kalim? Then this pasuk sounds good enough to me. So, Ela Otam Lamali. Now, don't you understand? We need to, you yourself pointed out, we've got two steps here, right? So if it hadn't said Otam, so I would have said that what this pasuk is adding is that Asher Yishartu Bam in the future, just being Misharet Bahem, gives them Kedusha. But, of course, if you have the Shemen HaMishcha, and you did Mishicha, that would, of course, be Mekadesh them, the same way the original ones were. This would make a tremendous nafkamina lahalocha. If the Mashiach was Mekadesh them, then even if they were never used and you put something that didn't have Kedushas HaGuf into them, they would become Kedush with Kedushas HaGuf. The moment they became Kedush with Kedushas HaGuf, Lina would passel them and all of the Chumras of Kedesh HaGuf would be Chal on them. But if you're telling me that only if it was once used would they have Kedusha, so then, even if I use the Shemen HaMishcha, it would not make them Kodesh Kedushas HaGuf. So if it didn't say Otam, I would have said, look, we have two psukim. We have V'chein Ta'asu, which means that you certainly can use Mashicha. And we also have this new pasuk, Asher Yishartu Bam HaKodesh. So I would have thought you could use either, because it also says V'chein Ta'asu. That's why we needed the Otam. No, V'chein Ta'asu doesn't refer to the Kalim. The Kalim is only the ones that were there, not L'dorot. Otam b'mishicha v'l'dorot b'mishicha. And therefore, what do? Comes along the other pasuk to tell me that Avodatam is Mechanachtam. The next thing that the Mishnah gave us was Ein Osin Sanhedros. You need to have a Besdin of Shivim V'Echad in order to appoint the various Batei Dinim that were on the Sharim of Esrim V'Shlosha. How do we know this? Minolan. K'da'ashkechan b'Moshe. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu says b'Ferish, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who appointed the Sarei Asarais, and that means that all of the levels of the Shoftim were defined by Moshe. So it was Moshe Rabbeinu who set up all of those Batei Dinim. And it says, Vayivchar Moshe Anshei Chayil Mikol Yisrael. So that means that the Deres, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu is, and remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is the Beis Din HaGadol. That's what it means. And that means that today we need a Beis Din HaGadol in order to appoint the Sanhedrin. So Moshe b'mokum shivim v'chad koi, as we pointed out. Tana Rabbana, minayin shema midim shoftim li Yisrael. How do we know that there needs to be judges over all of Yisrael? It says in the Pasuk, now we're going to be darshaning each word of the opening Pasuk to Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Asher Adonai Elohecha noten lecha lishvatecha, v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. So each one of those words, let's take a look at it. It says, shoftim titen lecha. Does it say that? Okay, so now you know that you, Yisrael, need to have shoftim. How do we know shotrim minayin? It says, shotrim titen lecha, shoftim v'shotrim. How do we know that you have to have shoftim for every single shevet? Well, it says, shoftim titen lecha lishvatecha. So that means you need for all of your shevet. And shotrim, how do we know? So it says, shotrim lechol shevet v'shevet binayin, because it says the same thing, shoftim v'shotrim lishvatecha. And how do we know that we need shoftim in every single city? Well, because it says, shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. So obviously, we need it on the Sharim. How do we know Shotrim for every single city that we need to have a force that actually enforces? Those are the Shotrim, we call the police, the officers of the court. It says Shotrim, b'chol sha'arecha, Shoftim v'Shotrim titen lecha tzera, b'chol sha'arecha. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, you also have to have one great Bezdin, which is the Bezdin HaGadol, that is Memuna al Kulam, because it says titen lecha. It means you have to have something above all of this for yourself. And so that word's titain, who is doing this titain? Obviously, there's an authority that does this. The Torah is talking to someone. It's talking to the Beis Din HaGadol, which is the authority that puts over all of these other courts. Reb Shemi ben Gamliel omer, from the fact that it says lishvatecha, and then it says, Vishavtu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. That means that there's a mitzvah on the shevet to see to it that the people of that shevet are the ones that are going to be nidain by a bezdin of that shevet. That means you don't go to a bezdin of a different shevet when you need to go to a higher court. So that there's an inyan of the mishpat, not simply that it should be available, but that it is meant to be a local phenomena that you sense as being part of your life. And it's not something theoretical that you simply go to for authorities as if it's some AI that you're getting information from. The next thing that we learned was Ein Osim Ir Hanidachat El Al Pi Bezdin Shel Shivim VeEchad. Minani Mili. Amr Abchir Bar Yosef, Amr Abhoshaya, Yomar Krova Hotzita Ta Ishahu, O Ta Ishahu. So as we were medayek earlier, only an individual man and woman do you take out locally, Atamotzi Lisha'arecha. But when you're talking about a group of people, or the case of the Irani Dachat, I Atamotzi Kola Irkula Lisha'arecha. Another thing that the Mishnah threw in at the end is that once we brought up the din of the Irani Dachat and what type of bezdin we need, we also mentioned the limitations of an Irani Dachat, and we said you cannot make an Irani Dachat on a border city. How do we know that, my timer? Because the Torah specified the words Mikir Becha. Yatsu anashim b'nei b'liyal mikir becha v'yadichu et yoshvei Iram. So, mikir becha means that it's from deep within you. It's from inside the country. It's not along the border of the country. So, therefore, if it is along the border, lo min asfar, that you cannot make into an Irani dachat. Nor can you make shalosh. You cannot have three Irani dachats next to each other. Why? Because it says, ba'achat, it says specifically, it would be ba'achat arecha. Why does it say ba'achat arecha? To tell me that you cannot make three, but you can make one or two. Dichtiv arecha, meaning, achat means one, not three. What? I thought, doesn't one usually mean one, not two? Why are you saying one and not three? Atomer achat v'lo shalosh, maybe it means one and not two. O hine l'achat v'lo shtayim. Kishua omer arecha, arei shtayim amur. But remember that the word arecha is the plural of cities, and therefore must be that the achat is coming to be memayet, a case beyond arecha, which means one but not three. Now, there were times when Rav and Paskin that this is only true that if you have the one Bezdin HaGadol there, you cannot make two. But if there were different courts, those courts are able, as long as you have the same Bezdin, fine, that Bezdin can never make more than one ear. But what if that Bezdin, it's now 50 years later, it's completely different Bezdin in terms of the people in that Bezdin, then they can. They can then take another, and so on. So it's only as long as it's the same roof of the Bezdin. That's the point. So every time you have a new Beis Din HaGadol, they can now create two new Orei Mikra. That was one psak of Rav. But other times Rav said, no, it doesn't matter. It's a din in a Beis Din HaGadol. Afilu b'shnayim v'shlosha batei dinim. You can never, having once defined two Ira Nidachats, you cannot make another one. My time at Rav. Rav is because he held that that is going to be very destructive for Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have remember, you're not allowed to rebuild it. So what are you going to have? This whole area that is desolate and can't be built? We can't do something like that. It makes a bald spot in Eretz Yisrael. Omer Reish Lakish. We know how we suffer from those bald spots. Ask Gavi about all of the fires and all of the beautiful places and all of the places that look like bald spots that we have to be mispalel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be matzmiach and mafre quickly so that we don't have to see all of that destruction. And therefore, we don't make such destruction. Lomer Reish Lakish, this is only true in one area. Remember that Eretz Yisrael, we've had in a couple locations, and Eretz Yisrael is split into three basic areas. We have Yehuda, Galil, and Ever HaYarden. So when we're talking about not having a karacha, it means in any one of these areas. Avo bishnayim v'shlosha mekomot osim. You could have two ir miklats in Yehuda, and ir nidachats in Yehuda, and two ir nidachats in the Galil. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, never. It's always mishum karacha. It doesn't matter how far apart they are. We don't have Eretz Yisrael destroyed in this way. In Eretz Yisrael, anywhere. But you can't make shtayim biyuda. Shtayim begalil, ein osim. And if it's near a border, smucha l'sfar, afilu achat ein osim. Why is that? Because the goyim will hear that there's an area on the border that is not settled, and they'll come and invade in that particular area because there won't be enough shmirah. Shema yishmu anochrim v'yachrivu at Eretz Yisrael. So this idea of not letting any area along the border be open to tunnels that they would be able to come into or areas that are open for invasion is a mocker in the Torah in terms of even Iranidachat, even if they worship Avodah Zarah. You cannot allow any type of weakness along the border of Eretz Yisrael. Wait a minute, didn't we have a pusik for that a minute ago? I thought we brought that from the pusik of Nikir Becha. And if it has to be from deep within Eretz Yisrael and not the edge. So why is Rabbi Shimon saying it's because Goyim may invade? Did you not notice who said that? Rabbi Shimon. Did you forget what is unique about Rabbi Shimon's approach to Psukim? Rabbi Shimon says, always use your brains to understand what the reason of the pasuk is. It's not something that says, well, it says Mikir Becha, you know, what can I do? That's crazy. It says Mikir Becha for you to understand something about that. Now, what were you supposed to understand? You're supposed to understand that your borders cannot be weakened. That's what you're supposed to understand. And therefore, if you're asking me, what's the bottom line? Why can we not do it? Because we don't want to be invaded. That's why. So why would I bring a pusik when the pusik is demanding of me to understand why the pusik? So this is Rabbi Shimon the Dorish Taima Dikra. Now, we also had the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. What is the size of the Beis Din HaGadol? So according to the Tanakhama, Sanhedri Gedolaita Shel Shivim V'Echad. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was only Shivim. So that is basically a machlokas about whether Moshe Rabbeinu was included in the Beis Din HaGadol at the time of the Shivim Zekenim, which means Shivim V'Echad, or whether Moshe was outside of the Beis Din, connected to the Beis Din. So why did the Rabbanan say Shivim V'Echad? Because they say, well, obviously, it was Moshe who was supposed to be together with the Beis Din, Itcha. It says, after all, Omar Kra, V'Hityatzvu Sham Imach, Imach V'At Ma'adayu. It says, call together the 70 Zekenim and let them stand there together with you. So then that means that there's 71. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that pasuk? Rabbi Yehuda said, "Imach." That was a, how can you bring a raya from there? That was a one-time event that the Shekhinah was standing there with Moshe because he was supposed to be giving from his ruach that was on Moshe. He was supposed to be matzil that ruach to all of these zakenim. So because of that, they had to stand there with him because the Shekhinah was there and was going to be given to them. It says that the ruchacha, your ruach, I'm going to put on the rest of them. So, of course, they need to be with Moshe. It says, Beferish va'atzalti min ha-ruach asher alecha v'samti aleihem. I'm talking about in the courtroom. Does it say anywhere that they're supposed to be done together with Moshe and the Rabbanan? That's a point. How can the Rabbanan learn from there that Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to be a member of the court? Because Omar Kra, v'nasu itcha b'masa am. And remember that it also says that they are supposed to help you with you, itcha, in this burden that you've taken upon yourself. Itcha means you with them. That's what the word itcha means. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he understand the word itcha? He learns itcha is meant to say that these people, these 70 people, need to be on the same level as you. That means that they have to be domim lecha. They have to have miyichus, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the miyuchasim. They have to be without any type of mumim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and so on. But it doesn't mean that Moshe was part of them. Okay, gentlemen. We shall, Bezrat Hashem, continue